doing this. Where's my cheat sheet? At this time, I'd like to call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of Monday, August 14th, 2023. Time is now 6:14. May I ask everyone, please turn your phones off or put them on silent during the meeting. We would appreciate the courtesy. At this time, anyone will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personnel matters or matters under litigation for a length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. No council or board discussion or action may take place on a matter unless that matter has been placed on the agenda and posted in accordance with the law. Do we have anyone signed up for comments right now?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Do we have any other public comments or received petitions?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Okay, staff, are there any reports or announcements to be heard?
Yes, ma'am. It's been a full month since we last met. 2 months. We met last June, or in June. So since that time, there have been 3 cases that were taken to City Council. One of those was a rezoning from agricultural to general retail at a medical complex in the 13,200 block. Recall that as being Mr. McGuinn's property. He was wanting to rezone the general retail from ag. City Council did approve that request, but downgraded to office, so that has been adopted. The other request was a light industrial and agricultural zoning district to general retail. That was the previous site of Devasco. That will now be Riddle Ministries site. That was also approved by City Council, but they did downgrade that to office as opposed to general retail. And then the last case that was last considered by this commission was the SF20 to light industrial, which was Mr. Littlefield's property at the northwest corner of South Persimmon and Medical Complex Drive. That was also approved as requested by City Council.
Thank you.
Can I have a question real quick? The Real Life Ministry, did they ever work that out, whether it was going to be a school or a daycare?
I believe it is going to be. It is classified as a daycare. They use.
Thank you. All right. So, consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of June 12th, 2023. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Pardon?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Is there any questions or corrections to the minutes? None. Okay, would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
And Commissioner Tay.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay. Why is this thing not moving on its own? I can't get it to scroll. Excuse me. Thank you. Okay. E2. Or rather, E1. Consideration to approve a final plat of Tim Littlefield, LLC, a subdivision of 4.2038 acres of land in the Jesse Pruitt Survey, Abstract 629, City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, being a partial replat of lot 284 and 286 of Tomball Outlots as recorded in Volume 2, page 65, and in corrected map recorded in Volume 4, page 75 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. My name is Jared Smith. I am the city planner for the city of Tomball, and I'll be presenting the final plat for Tim Littlefield, LLC. This property is located in the northwest corner of South Persimmon Street and Complex Drive. There was a rezoning request, which was recently approved, to rezone from agricultural to light industrial for this tract of land. So the zoning is now light industrial. This subdivision plat is creating two lots and is comprised of approximately 4.21 acres. This is the graphic representation of that plat for your consideration. The staff has found that this plat is consistent with Chapter 40, Article 2 of our Code of Ordinance, which are the subdivision standards, and city staff is recommending approval to you all today with no conditions.
Okay. Will the applicant please come forward to present your case, state your name and address for the record if you're present? Not here. Okay. The public hearing on zoning case Z23-10 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 6:19 p.m. Whoops. Sorry. I did it again. Okay. Excuse me. I skipped a page. All right, we have your presentation. Okay. Could I have a motion to approve the final plat of Tim Littlefield, LLC?
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. I'm sorry, y'all.
It was me.
Yeah, I'm writing it down. Okay. So, is there any additional questions? Okay, seeing none, would you call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tay?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Ross?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. E2. We're going to conduct a public hearing in consideration to approve zoning case Z23-10, a request by Nathan T. Newman on behalf of the NTN Tomball Corner, LLC, to amend zoning Chapter 50 of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 56.1 acres of land legally described as Lot 1 and Lot 3 of Reserve at Tomball, and Lot 2 of Reserve at Tomball, partial replat number 1 from single family 9 SF9 and commercial to planned development PD number 19 zoning. The property is generally located at the northwest corner of FM 2978 and FM 2920 within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. I'll be presenting Z23-10. Here is an aerial location map which is highlighting the subject property, crosshatched in yellow. It is approximately 56 acres in size and located at the northwest corner of FM 2978 and 2920. The applicants are requesting to rezone the property to a planned development district, which is intended to create a mixed-use development. This PD will promote a range of retail, restaurant, and office uses, as well as a multifamily development. And all of these planned uses are to be anchored by a centrally located amenity pond designed to create an active pedestrian space that encourages entertainment opportunities within a walkable environment. Here are a few photographs of the subject property as well as surrounding properties to provide some context as to where we are. You may have noticed a large amount of land has been cleared at this corner. That would be the subject property. Current zoning map, the subject property currently falls within the commercial and single-family residential 9 zoning designations and have been within that zone, those zoning districts since at least 2008, when the city of Tomball first adopted zoning. There are a wide range of zoning districts within the immediate vicinity to include commercial to the north, single-family residential to the north, and a planned development district, which is PD number 15, also to the north. That PD was created to establish a small lot, single-family residential subdivision, which is referred to as Winfrey Estates. To the south is light industrial zoning occupied by TISD's Star Academy and administrative offices. To the east is Baker Hughes Education Center, as well as a large amount of vacant acreage. And then to the west, there is commercial and single-family residential zoning currently occupied by CenterPoint Energy overhead utility lines. This subject property is bounded on the south and east sides by two major arterial streets, those being FM 2978 and FM 2920. as well as a collector street to the north, which is referred to as Winfrey Lane. Major thoroughfares such as these are designed to accommodate large volumes of traffic that would be generated by the proposed commercial and multifamily development promoted by this zoning request. Furthermore, intersections of major arterial streets such as these are routinely considered appropriate for commercial activities as they provide convenient vehicular access and exposure often deemed necessary to support commercial businesses. Future land use map. The subject property is designated as the corridor commercial future land use category. This category is intended to serve predominantly non-residential uses along high-traffic regionally serving thoroughfares. These areas will be primarily automobile-oriented. However, there should be a promotion of bicycle or pedestrian accommodations to create a pleasing environment, which leaves a lasting impression on residents and visitors to Tomball. According to the comprehensive plan, land uses within this category should include regional commercial services, personal service offices, retail, entertainment, dining, hotels, brew pubs, and distilleries, as well as multifamily apartments. The comprehensive plan does recommend zoning districts of office, general retail, commercial, multifamily, as well as planned development districts, which is what is being proposed this evening. That's something I wanted to kind of touch on here. So the current comprehensive plan does identify the need to promote transitional land uses. And at this intersection, the requested planned development district is in conformance with that intent in the comprehensive plan. As you can see to the east and to the south, there is the business park and industrial land use classification. Within these land use classifications, we are actively promoting manufacturing, industrial, as well as corporate campuses. And then as you move northwest from that intersection, you can see that we are obviously promoting the corridor commercial, which is going to be your regionally serving commercial centers and retail activities. And then as you continue to move further north, you'll see that we have the neighborhood residential land use category. So with this planned development being a retail component along the frontages of the major arterial streets, and then transitioning to a multifamily component, and then to a single-family residential being with three states, and then further to the north, even additional single-family residential uses, it really is the ideal transitional land use that the comprehensive plan does endorse. Here is a site exhibit which was provided by the applicant. Again, the intent is to create a mixed-use development which will promote a range of retail, restaurant, and office uses, as well as a multifamily component. This mixed-use development is to be anchored, as I said previously, by a centrally located enhanced amenity pond, which the applicant is calling the Tomball Boardwalk. This boardwalk is designed to be a destination that creates an active pedestrian space that encourages entertainment opportunities within a walkable environment. The boardwalk is to incorporate walking paths, observation decks, pedestrian bridges, a public plaza, courtyard, restaurant patio areas with boardwalk frontages, an open lawn and picnic area, as well as a children's playground. Again, just additional exhibits provided by the applicant to kind of give you an idea of the cross sections for this boardwalk amenity, as well as the entries, streetscapes. Here are a few inspiration photographs which were provided by the applicant identifying the architectural style of the restaurant and boardwalk buildings which are planned to be constructed with this development. And again, just more inspirational photos for the retail buildings which they are planning to construct here, just to give you an idea of the architectural design that they intend to incorporate. And then lastly, another inspiration photo that kind of just gives you an idea of the architectural design that the multifamily apartments will be incorporating with this planned development district. Notification map. City staff did send notification letters to all owners of properties within 300 feet of the subject property, and we received one response in opposition and zero in favor at this time. This request to rezone to a planned development, which will establish a mixed-use development, is in direct alignment with the goals and the objectives outlined in our comprehensive plan, and specifically the corridor commercial land use category. The planned development promotes many of the goals and objectives found in our comprehensive plan, adopted by City Council in 2019, specifically the need to capitalize on mixed-use developments that promote recreation and entertainment opportunities for citizens and visitors of Tomball that will leave a lasting impression. The comprehensive plan supports the creation of mixed-use developments that will encourage a variety of land uses within a walkable environment while also facilitating development of new neighborhoods which can integrate within that built environment. This provides opportunities for citizens to, for citizens in all stages of their lives, whether they're recent graduates, young families, or empty nesters, to have convenient access between residential uses and commercial uses while creating quality, complete, and enduring neighborhoods that will serve Tomball residents long into our future. The PD establishes a walkable environment between the planned multifamily and commercial component, as well as convenient access to the facilities and services to the nearby patio home residential community, which I've told you previously is Winfrey Estates to the northwest. And taking all of that into consideration, city staff is recommending approval on zoning case Z23-10. Thank you.
Thank you. Will the applicant please come forward to present your case, state your name and address for the record, and let the record show.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Clayton Benedict. I live at 26 Canoe Bend Court in the Woodlands, 77389. I'm with Newman Commercial Real Estate. I'm here to present present our PD application to you. Thank you for your time and your consideration today. With that being said, I put together a little presentation. Jared's pulled it up for us. A lot of the content in the presentation is very similar to what you just saw, but I kind of want to highlight some points with respect to the development. On slide one, we pretty much already hit the fact that it's a 56-acre site. It's a big site. I think we all can agree that we've driven past this site many, many times and seen just the weeds grow up on it and wondered, you know, what this can be and how come someone hasn't come in here and done something special with it. Well, we think we're the right group, Newman Commercial Development. We think we're going to do something very special here, something I think all city residents, staff members will appreciate for many years to come. With that being said, we've already talked a little bit about the adjacent neighbors. I don't think we need to really get into details with that, but I mean, overall, it's just ripe with opportunity. We saw it. We approached the former landowners, I think spring of last year, started to engage with them on, getting the site under contract. It was a back and forth process. These landowners had owned the land for a long time, and I want to say it was 30 to 40 investors. And I don't think they could ever come to a consensus on what they wanted to do with the property. I think there were some development proposals that had been presented to planning and zoning and city council in the past, and they just never came to fruition for probably a variety of reasons. Just the back and forth, the differences of opinion, maybe the equity component. But we were able to get the site under contract, and we closed in October last year. So we're almost a year of owning the site. Since then, we have been working behind closed doors very hard, very rapidly on not only our PD application, because we thought that that was the best fit for the project, but also, with respect to our overall development plan. Really starting all of our hydrology models, our traffic impact improvements, submitting those types of things, our curb cut drawings, the connectivity to TxDOT, we've submitted that all into TxDOT. So there's actually a lot going on that most people aren't aware of that, and we're advancing here. So that's a great thing. Also, we mentioned that the site is actively being cleared right now. The site was just a cattle operation, but then I think previous owners, they just couldn't maintain it anymore. And it just, there's a bunch of invasive, China berry trees and yopon out there. So we're getting rid of all of that. And you'll see in the future slides here, other slides we'll talk about here, where we'll start talking about more of the landscaping components and enhancements. On this slide, we've already talked about the zoning piece. As far as the existing zoning right now with commercial, there's a single family component. We did analyze what that could be for us. And there are some viable options there, but we felt like highest and best use was to create the plan development, the mixed use. And, you know, our envision is really to deliver a high-quality development, and that's what leads us to this slide, where what we intend to deliver is this mixed-use master plan development featuring really commercial retail, office medical component, multifamily, and recreational uses on the site. You can see the commercial kind of pad users along 2978 and 2920. We also have the office medical user there shaded in that light purple, closer to the intersection of 2920 and 2978. The multifamilies in yellow. We also indicate our detention facilities. One is on the north side of Winfrey Lane. That's our primary detention facility. It is a wet pond. But then we also have the amenity pond. Jared alluded to it, closer to 2920, and there's a couple buildings there that we internally reference to Restaurant Row, and I'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. But one thing I did want to clarify, we, Newman Commercial Real Estate, we're commercial developers, but we don't do multifamily. So today, you know, and our submittal of our PD application really isn't for the design characteristics, the building characteristics of the multifamily. Yes, we put some examples on because we are going to require the multifamily buyer and developer to embrace our architectural components and that type of planting palette and everything within their development, but we are not multifamily developers. In fact, if we were to jump into that, I mean, it's such a niche development product that we feel like we would make a lot of rookie mistakes, and that could jeopardize not only each multifamily project, but also the overall project. So I guess what I want to emphasize to you today is we want to pull in an experienced multifamily developer to make the overall development successful. Next slide. Okay, so on this slide, this is our colored site plan. It really starts to tell the story of what we want to execute out here, how we want to develop this. So obviously the multifamily is kind of grayed out, but we're showing our pad users, our QSRs, our banks, you know, car wash users, multi-tenant retails along 2978-2920. The POB, professional office building for medical use or office, and then the amenity pond there with the two restaurant buildings. These are multi-tenant restaurant users. So we intend to, you know, get anywhere from like 4 to 6 restaurant users in here that embrace, you know, what it is we want to achieve here and what we want to deliver to create such a unique environment for patrons and visitors. One thing I want to highlight here is just the attention to our vegetative buffers between the buildings in the parking lots. You know, the last thing that we want to do is build and develop, you know, just parking lots and a lot of pavement. That would be very wrong. That's what we don't want to do that. So we are very sensitive to the landscape palette and what we're going to plant here, in addition to the pedestrian access and walkability of the site. You'll see they're dashed in red circles. These are our anticipated new signalized intersections. At the signalized intersections, we'll include pedestrian crosswalks. So we want, and it's important not only for us, but I would think for the Baker Hughes and the Tomball ISDs of the world to be able to walk across the street for to grab a bite to eat. You can also see our ride-in, ride-outs. These are new curb cuts, which allows, you know, obviously the vehicular access in and out of the site. And then what's not labeled, because it's not a signalized intersection, is the Winfrey Lane, which was just recently constructed. So those are the primary vehicular access points into the site. Next slide, Jared. All right, so then we have kind of the enlarged site plan of the amenity pond. You really start to see the kind of the character and the what it is that we're trying to accomplish here on Restaurant Row. You can see the boardwalk component. This is an evolving design process. In fact, recently we had a big meeting with our civil engineers, landscape architect, and architect to really kind of hone in here and evaluate, you know, establish, you know, what our goals here and how we're going to achieve that. And one of the things that's different on this illustration is we're actually going to pull the pond edge closer to the restaurants. And the whole objective there is to really get more outdoor patio type dining experience. It's something that's very unique. You see a little bit of in the Woodlands, and there's a couple other developments out there in the Houston Metroplex that have that kind of component, but it's really about placemaking and creating this environment that people will remember this. They'll want to come here. They'll want to visit Tomball. They'll want to spend money. So a couple other components in here. There's an open green. We're going to have a little really cool playground. That way mom and dad, I'm a dad. I have two little boys. I'd love to bring my wife out here, enjoy a glass of wine, and the kids can go run and play in the playground and have fun while we enjoy a nice dinner or drink. So we think, family-oriented, placemaking destination is, this is really kind of the diamond or the jewel of the development, and something that, although the multifamily we may sell off and maybe the pad users we sell off, we want to hold on to this. This is unique. You don't find this anywhere else, because one of the things that makes us unique is we don't have institutional money. We're not an institutional investor. So we have the freedom and the ability to do some really kind of cool stuff and think outside of the box. Institutional investors want to hit it right down the fairway. They want to do one product and that's it, because it works. But for us, we can explore a little bit. And we want to explore a little bit because this is our home too. I don't live in Colorado or New York. I live here in the Woodlands, and so does Nate Newman. I didn't bring up Nate. Nate's the developer. He owns Newman Commercial Real Estate. He was not able to come here today. He's actually on a vacation, so I'm kind of filling in for him. But I'm pretty involved in the day-to-day design and construction operation of our project, so I could easily fill in. Let's see, what else? I think I mentioned our sensitivity to the planting pallets, site lighting, signage. These are all very important elements to the project. One other thing I wanted to emphasize, yes, we're out there, we're clearing the site now, but we've already purchased, about 6 months ago, we purchased 30 bald cypress trees and 15 Mexican sycamore trees from Environmental Design. Environmental Design is here in Tomball at Coons Road. Y'all know they're the big tree mover. They're great to work with. In fact, they recently moved 350-year-old live oak trees for us over at our sister project in Gosling, on Gosling Road. So we believe in them. They're our true partner. So we purchased these trees. They're in air pots at their tree farm right now. We have them on a fertigation system. We are growing them. They're 4-inch caliper now. By the time we plant them in the fall of 2025, they'll probably be around 7 to 8 inch. So these are going to be big trees. So it's not going to be just your little lollipop trees that you kind of typically see. We are investing the capital and the money to make this project successful and to make a statement here in the city of Tomball. Next slide, please. Once again, just some of our boardwalk site elements and enhancements. We're continuing to tweak this kind of stuff. But you get the overall idea of how we're going to, pull our dining patrons out over the water. It doesn't really illustrate it that well in these renderings, but we'll get there. But at the bottom, the streetscape illustration is important, really just showing our softening, the buffering between the pedestrian crosswalks and sidewalks, and the site lighting component as well. Next slide. One thing that we worked really hard on with Jared is our signage plan. This one's a tough one, in that everyone and their dog wants visibility along 2978 and 2920. That's all of the businesses that are going to come here. So how do we find a balance? How do we come up with a good comprehensive plan that works well for everyone? Let's go to the next slide. And that's where we've come up with our signage hierarchy. You can see a kind of a combination of some single tenant, dual tenant signage and multi-tenant signage. And then in addition to that, you see some of the architectural components, the color, the materials in the signage. One thing not included in, actually Jared pulled it up earlier, was just the architectural components of the buildings. We're continuing to enhance that. But overall, this is gonna be a Class A development. Next slide, please. Okay, so just final bullet points. This is on the east end of Tomball. This is a gateway project. Like I've illustrated and discussed here today, I think we're hitting the nail on the head. This is one of those signature projects that I think we can all be proud of. It's going to be the higher quality development, Class A. It's going to be an amenity for the community. We talked about placemaking and destination, the development. Another thing, this development is going to attract a lot of young professionals. I say that because, you know, you go through Tomball, you look around, maybe downtown is kind of a mixed-use feel, but we really don't have that anywhere else in Tomball. And I think a lot of the young professionals will migrate here because they want the walkability. They want the mixed-use component. Obviously, walking to the restaurant, you know, getting a drink, going to the bank, that kind of thing is a big deal for the youth. And I think your nurses, your teachers, your police officers, your firefighters are going to hone in here, and they're going to want to live here. Higher sales tax and property tax, I mean, it kind of goes without saying. There's going to be a lot of money spent here. The city is going to benefit from this for a very long time, and that's a great thing. New retail office experiences, it kind of goes without saying again. Yes, it's all brand new, but I think, in my opinion, and the reason why I kind of included this particular bullet point is I think it complements Main Street very well. And I say that because I think both Main Street and our development are going to drive a lot of people to the city of Tomball. And so that many more people are going to be in Tomball, and I think both are going to see increased foot traffic from, you know, both areas. And then once again, our hyper focus on just the walkability, the community connectivity, the trails, family-oriented destination, placemaking, you know, gateway. This is going to be a special place. It's, you know, really going to stimulate dining, shopping, and living experience for those that choose to come here. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm sorry that went long.
Thank you.
The multi... I'm ready to go.
We'll call you back up when it's time to ask questions. You're getting better.
Richard, okay. Save me.
Okay. So, the public hearing on zoning case Z23-10 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 6:46 p.m. If there's anybody who would like to speak regarding this zoning request, you will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Do we have anybody? All right. Thank you, sir.
Hello, my name is Roland Ramirez. I live at 43 East Sundance Circle, The Woodlands, Texas. I am part of CHTA Development, Winfrey Estates, and I want to make it clear that, and Clayton and I have talked about this already, I'm only in opposition of one point in this whole development. Because we are doing 55-plus community in Winfrey Estates, with outdoor living both the back and to the side, you know, they have the opportunity to have quite a bit of upgrades with regards to built-ins in that patio area towards the back and off to the side. We think this development will be excellent for our citizens, for our homeowners. The only exception that I have and the only opposition that I have to this is the multifamily. I don't know if there's a slide where we can show the lots against this property. But, you know, at this point, we have lots backing up on the south side and on the east side on the southern portion of Winfrey Estates. And my concern is a three and or four-story apartment complex will look directly down into these outdoor living patios. And that brings us to the issue of quiet enjoyment of our residents, who are 55 plus. I think the average age is something like 67, 68, somewhere in there. And I can't And I know that the proposal is to have a 100-foot building setback on the rear, but if you have a 3- or 4-story building, that doesn't matter. You're going to look right down into our residence, both on the south side, and I don't know if you have a deal where you can show the south side where it backs up to their development, and on the east side, those lots right there and down here are all going to be impacted if you have 3- and 4-story multifamily looking down. What we are proposing is that regardless of whether it is multifamily or anything else wrapping around us, we are asking that nothing be more than 2 floors, that first row of apartments, 2 floors, whether it's on the east side or on the south side. You can see our street layout there. Otherwise, we are delighted that Clayton is doing what he's doing. It will benefit, and his group, it will benefit our homeowners and, restaurants, medical, retail, fantastic. But apartments looking down into our outdoor lifestyle living, it really kills us. It really hurts us. So that's my only comment. Any questions?
No, not at this time. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak regarding this request? Okay. So, do we have anybody else to speak? Okay. All right, the public hearing on zoning case Z23-10 is now closed. The time is 6:50 p.m. Okay. May I have a motion to approve zoning case Z23-10?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Okay, is there any discussion or questions of the applicant or anyone? Pardon me?
I think Scott had some questions.
Yeah, I had a question about the multi.
Okay, who did you wish to speak to?
I guess the applicant. Good question.
Okay, I see it. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, if you could please come up to the mic, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir, fire away.
The multi housing part of all that, how many units are we talking about?
We estimate probably about 500. Two-phase. We'll likely start in the kind of the west side and work our way up to the northeast corner. That's kind of the overall phasing of the plan. Mm-hmm. So two phases, multifamily, I think it's labeled A, or phase one, actually, I think it does say that, phase one. And then we'll, once that's leased up, then we'll move to phase two.
And those are, you're planning on those being 3-story units?
No, actually 4-story. Four stories in our application. Yes, it. I think the 3-story is in your ordinance. We're requesting an additional floor. Mm-hmm. And on that, and to kind of get in a little more detail on that, you can see what we're trying to do here and what we're trying to accomplish. And we're spending a lot of money. But we would really have to pull back the reins if we don't get 4-story multifamily. And in fact, it'll make it, doesn't make it impossible, but it makes it a lot harder to convince these restaurant users to go into these, niche type unique developments that aren't, at a major corner or intersection or something like that. So we have to densify the site. That's kind of the overall comment I have, and back on Roland, I appreciate him coming here today. In fact, he called me on Friday. We have each other's cell phone. We probably talk more than what we really want to, so I have the utmost respect for him for calling me on Friday. Mm-hmm. And just telling me, hey, Clayton, I'm going to be there. We want to present our case too on behalf of their project, it's a business thing. Mm-hmm.
So you've had some conversation with restaurant users? Do you have some national brands or?
Not quite yet. We're still very early on. We're assembling really our marketing, kind of our branding package right now. And once we have kind of the framework of that, we'll start putting it on the street.
and really start to anchor several big users, and that will help drive momentum. We've already been talking to a few of the, like the quick serve restaurant and, you know, kind of automobile, you know, quick lube kind of places, that kind of thing. You know, those services that, you know, we need in our communities, and a couple other users, haircut places, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Regarding your four-story buildings, to be honest, I'm not a proponent of anything over two stories, but that's in downtown here. My question to you is, okay, you've got your project overlooking the senior area that is next door. Is there any possibility of working out perhaps a way where, because I know from the family member, she lives in the Domain in Austin, and at the back there is where it faces, it's not seniors or anything like that, but it's something that is not really pretty. So they developed a way of putting some kind of a screening back there that helps the people that reside within the Domain when you're on the sixth floor, and helps the people who have this, I can't politely explain it, but it's an entertainment thing that nobody else really cares for.
Right.
But it has buffered the sound, which was their objection to it. So is there a possibility you all could even consider looking at something like, you know, to work with that?
Yes, definitely. So I'm glad you're bringing this up and bringing the question up.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Jared, probably let's go to the site plan where it shows the spacings and the buffers between the two uses. I think this is it.
Yeah, I thought I saw something.
So really focused on Winfrey Estates, our shared, so their southern property line, our shared property line, and then on kind of that north-south running property line, I guess right. Winfrey Estates east property line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we've done here is we took a look at their plat and how they've laid out their buildings. And what we've realized is their homes, their lots, there is a buffer zone on their property between it's adjacent to our, obviously adjacent to our property line, but there's a zone there where the fence is, I want to say, actually there is a section cut. We should go to the sections. So those two, so we did some sections. We did some studies just to look at this in depth. This is section A, so this is on the southern property line of Winfrey Estates. There is a 60, let's see if we scroll down there. There's about a 66-foot buffer zone between the back of the fence of the single-family lot and our shared fence. So there's a piece of land here that is, at least on their plat, noted as a utility easement. But it is in my team's research that this easement has been abandoned. It's not there. So it's just land. And they've platted their property, and they're not utilizing the land. So there's a lot of different things that could be done on their site, but I'm not at liberty to tell them, or you know, maybe I could suggest them planting that area. But what I do have control over is the land on our side of the fence. And in that section, we show from property line to face of building a 35-foot buffer space. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, in the ordinance, multifamily or commercial use backed up to single family, the spacing is is 60 feet. Okay, so we're showing 110 feet. Mm-hmm. Heck, if you take out the 14 foot from the single family home to the fence line, we're over 100 feet buffer from building to building. That's a lot of space. And the ordinance says 60 feet. So we have almost doubled the spacing. Yes, we're requesting the four story, but we've almost doubled that spacing requirement. So we are in compliance with the ordinance. In addition to that, one thing that we have proposed is we are going to plant trees, I think a 1 3-inch tree per each 40-foot spacing on the backside of our multifamily. So we are going to create that landscaping buffer in addition to a 7-foot opaque wall or fence on our property line. So we are making improvements to mitigate some of the concerns. In fact, we've looked at this enough and we've changed it enough because Jared has suggested to me, Clayton, that, you know, you really need to consider, you know, moving your multifamily off the property line. And we pushed, but we came to the realization instead of sitting here and posturing and you know, truly upsetting our neighbor, we felt like we are making, we are mitigating the concerns, and we are proposing a solid plan, over 110-foot spacing between the buildings. If we go to the other section, and by the way, these sections are worst case. It doesn't necessarily apply to every single building, okay, or every single multifamily building. Does that make sense? So the other section, really the pinch point is down there at that southeast corner. Once again, worst case, from the face of each building, 114 feet. Once again, 60-foot ordinance spacing.
Excuse me, I keep hearing you saying 60-foot ordinance spacing. However, I need a clarification on how that's measured. I thought that had to be within your property boundary. Maybe. And you're capturing part of your neighbor's property in that 60. I don't understand.
So by ordinance, in a typical multifamily zoning district, so mind you, this is a PD, so we can tailor the ordinance. But typically, it's a 60-foot minimum setback measured from their property line.
The owner's property line, the developer's property line.
Correct.
In this case, it would be the Nate Newman real estate property line.
Yes, ma'am. And in the PD ordinance, if you read it, there's a provision in there that allows for these off-site utility right. easements or pipeline easements to be counted towards that 60-foot
okay, so
distance.
This, going yeah. back to, how wide is that area that we've been told is abandoned?
40-foot?
I believe it's 66 from, if you can see my cursor, sorry.
Yeah, it says 40-foot.
Yeah, these are the rear property lines. There's a 40-foot roadway and pipeline easement, and then mm-hmm. there's an additional 26 feet or so here.
And that's all been abandoned? Has the city confirmed that?
I am unaware of that being abandoned. This plat is relatively new, so it shows up on the plat, so typically if it's abandoned, there would be a note on there that's been abandoned, or it wouldn't appear at all. So that's news to me. Nonetheless, it's a reserve. It's a reserve E, which is designated as open space mm-hmm. in the subdivision plan. So they're kind of married to that as it's currently planned. They being Winfrey Estates, it's to remain open space.
Right.
And the same, just to kind of piggyback off of that, the same applies to this boundary. There's also a pipeline easement. Mm-hmm. Designated as Reserve B, and then again, yeah. Reserve B carries around this cul-de-sac. So, in the PD language, if you read it, they are wanting to allocate that distance towards their 100-foot setback, if you could, or if you can follow me on that. So, mm-hmm.
If we went strictly by ordinance, which this PD starts out saying it meets or exceeds the ordinances. Then what would this developer with the multifamily be obligated to do?
They would be, if you can see my cursor, so this is the boundary, their northern boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So by ordinance, if it was multifamily zoning, it'd be 60 feet from this point. So
Is boundary also a property line?
Yes, ma'am.
In this case, okay. Yes, I just want to be clear on definitions.
Yes, ma'am. So, what they are requesting is that we consider these rear boundaries of lots as where they're taking that measurement from.
Which either way is not their property.
Not their property.
Either way.
Correct.
All right.
And if I could kind of go back to this graphic, so that is the case here, and what he, they have identified as section exhibit A, which is the first one that we viewed.
Mm-hmm.
And then section exhibit B, which is this eastern boundary.
Right.
This one does meet and exceed the 60 foot.
Yeah.
Right there with the 70.
This one is 86 and a half feet from the fence line. I'm sorry, 96.
Well, I was seeing 20 and 76. And obviously what's missing on these drawings is a line of sight, which is pretty common sense. Mm-hmm. Unless these trees are really tall.
Well, who knows? But similar to the type of...
situation you were talking about.
Or that we had when we were over with the utility lines and all by the weekly homes, mm-hmm, that back up to Liberty Lane.
You know, I could add on to that. There is a provision in our code that says if you have a multifamily building, that's, I'll tell you exactly what it says, a multi-story multifamily development complex shall be constructed so that there shall be no windows above the first floor on any sides which are within 100 feet of property zoned for single family uses, existing residential plot of lots, and existing single family residences. So, what that means is technically, Winfrey Estates is single family zoned property, even though there's an easement here. Because they're closer than 100 feet to each of those boundaries, again, the orange being their boundary, that provision would kick in. If they push their building further than 100 feet, well, then it's a moot point. But
so you're saying these, that you could have a balcony there, but no access to it with a window?
Well, I don't know how you'd have a balcony without having a door and a door.
I understand that. So you're saying these balconies that we're seeing is a depiction, simply a concept.
Mm-hmm.
Would actually, theoretically, with what you said, not be allowed. Nor would windows.
Precisely.
Nor would windows on those buildings spacing.
Mm-hmm.
And within that measurement.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
That's good.
If this is APD, can those rules be massaged to?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's what a PD is for, is tailored ordinance. So if they... It's not in here, but if they wanted that, they could have added that in here, but it's not accounted for. It just defaults to the multifamily.
However, I will point out again, PDs, and as they state in their PD, are intended by definition to exceed what a city requires for development. And certainly, in many cases, this exceeds a lot. And as this gentleman has told us, is putting in a tremendous investment, which to me no more minimizes the investment of their neighbor. Mm-hmm. But PDs are supposed to exceed. So if that means they've got to get creative on developing it, then they got to get creative on developing it.
Okay, you're right. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I know when we've done our PDs in the past, we have never used that definition, to my knowledge.
PDs are often used as a way to get around requirements as well.
I understand that.
Typically, there's a give and take.
Yeah,
it
gives you the ability to do some give and take to where perhaps, you know, you can work out an issue that isn't really an issue once you work together. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me the other gentleman's interested, so we'll make Jared responsible. You did hear that, Ms. Jennifer, didn't you?
Well, okay. I just thought we were having a discussion. With
right, but it's just like when
we were
talking about
discussion.
Doing downtown. Somebody proposed, well, let's do 4-story, 5-story buildings. I said, I don't like that.
Right, and mm-hmm. It's not a fit there.
No.
Yeah,
but it's something,
you know, perhaps,
you know,
it is somewhere else.
But they actually did come up with a way to do different types of things mm-hmm. like that. So.
But I just also think it's really worth mentioning all of these things so
mm-hmm.
that every commissioner mm-hmm. knows... you know, what the baseline is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going, the baseline being the ordinances, and mm-hmm. then we're going from there mm-hmm. forward.
But That's why we all work together well.
So does anybody have any objections to this development other than peering down on the 55 older community?
No, I don't.
I think if we could, you know, manage to not have balconies or windows on that backside so that people aren't looking down, I don't think that would be a problem.
Bell or dark glass?
Well, I think the green space between the two properties, as you have talked about it, is critical. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, from what we've been told today, it sounds like it's clear. I don't think there's a big natural buffer zone there right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who or how trees that could grow quickly and give almost a forest appearance separating the two could happen. That to me would be the absolute ideal. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we have that option here. There were a couple other concerns I had looking through the PD, and I'll mention them right here very briefly. In section G, buffering and fencing, and number 3 of the PD, it looks like there needs to be some language cleanup there, because it says that they will install trees at a rate of 1 3-inch tree per 40 foot of property boundary. I think they mean to say 3-inch caliper tree. And then it goes on to say tree species will vary, including oak, pine, and low shrubs. I don't know that low shrubs are trees. And I think we've already, and so it would be a moot point, but I don't think we need to define what kind of oak and pine, because we've already adopted that list. And then my last comment is the opaque screening that begins this section under buffering and fencing. Again, it's G in the PD. I would like to see that to be 8 foot. And I do have a question for the developer here. The opaque screening wall, is that masonry?
Don't know yet.
Oh, we don't know. Okay. That's something we might want to consider, but I would like to see it masonry in 8 foot.
It likely will be. I mean, wood fence just doesn't make sense, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think it would need to be something a little more sturdy. And. Mm-hmm.
But I do know with PDs, this is where, unfortunately, the devil's in the details. And if we don't ask for what we want, it's, you know, the window of opportunity window will go by.
You need the four-story multifamilies to make it sexier for the retail people to come along and feel better about it. That's just a sheer numbers thing there. But you know, obviously 2920, 2978 is a lot of traffic, and
correct,
there's a lot of neighborhoods within a short distance of that. This is going to be like a destination boardwalk because it looks pretty inviting and pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that taking the multifamily thing down to 3 or 2 stories is that big of a restriction given the amount of traffic you already have there to pull from.
The thing that it complicates who our multifamily buyer is going to be then.
Yeah.
Okay, so then your buyers start falling off because it's not as attractive. And it's a smaller multifamily site when we're considering garden style apartments, right? It's only about 12 acres, I think, each phase. So you have to really densify it if you want it to work. If it has to pencil out, the economics have to pencil out.
But you have neighbors. I realize you want to densify it, but you have neighbors.
Yes.
And you also have come before the board to request to go from an SF9 to plan development so you can do this. And these people are going to buy houses that their neighbors then look down on. And I can tell you from personal experience that nobody likes that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So either we approve yours and make you happy, or we approve theirs and make them happy.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to like their neighbors looking down into their yard, their pool, their social events.
Were you planning on this being Class A?
Yes.
Okay,
definitely.
And so are you saying it's hard to find Class A multifamily developers without it being 4 stories?
It will constrain our, you know, kind of our pool of buyers. I'm not saying we can't get it done, but 4 story, you know, for a smaller multifamily site, that will be attractive to pretty much anyone and everyone that's in the development
space.
Because I could see the restaurant and the commercial that you want to track needing Class A.
That's right.
Right.
They,
see, that's common.
And they need the density. They need the on-site density and patrons in addition to the thoroughfares.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Have y'all done very many of this type of development, or is this new?
Done a lot of commercial developments, not really this big, but when you separate out the multifamily, I mean, it's in our wheelhouse.
Right.
We've done the pad sites. We've done the small, you know, 2-3-story mm-hmm. office buildings, that kind of
okay.
thing.
Okay. Well, so, my question is, because to me, from what you're saying, the concept reminds me a lot of, like, the Domains in Austin,
mm-hmm.
the different cities that were... I've visited family members in. And is that something you're looking, because they target the kids who are in college.
That's right.
And a lot of the younger married families, things like that. And I do know that for, when we started out with that area many years ago, that was the idea, was to bring in a hotel, similar type developments here with where the single family seniors are going to be. They were going to put a Hilton mm-hmm. with all kinds of little stuff, and a pond for seniors and townhouses and stuff. But, like you said, certain things don't always work out. However, we do have the, what was it called, across the street? Anyway, the oil facility where they did the trade.
Baker Hughes.
Thank you. My mind went blank. The goal for them building that there was to see hotels and multifamily or multi-use mm-hmm. apartments, 3-4 story and all that, with the idea that bringing in the people they were bringing in from around the world for training, and they were looking at quite a bit because it's a huge facility, mm-hmm. that would help our area. And for me, I understand the conflicts and the issues and all, but I think at some point we're going to have something in the area similar to this. Now, whether or not this is going to work out for him, I couldn't tell you. But I do believe if you would find some way, maybe you could make both yourself and the gentleman who's behind you happy. But I do know that the college has been looking and trying to find someone to come to town to put in more apartments and things, because they get tons of requests from kids or families to come to town. And I've got 2 new neighbors who moved to town, built houses just so they brought their kids here to go to Lone Star College and to do some other college, which is in the area. So it's not maybe totally ideal, but I think, when do you plan to have this finished? If you could, your idea.
Yeah, the idea is to deliver phase one in fall of 2025.
Take you that long?
Yep.
Geez, you're slow. I'm kidding. Anyway, but I'm just saying that between now and then, things change a lot. So yeah. Who knows?
I mean, that's going to be beautiful, but I can see if I was living, I bought a house, and
yeah,
these are 55 and older, so this is probably going to be their last house, and they mm-hmm. want to relax. I mean, they don't want everybody looking down and seeing what's going on in their backyard and hearing all the noise and everything. So
but
I wish we had a way to buffer.
Well,
can I answer Ms. Ross's?
Sure.
You had mentioned the buffer, and let me elaborate on that a little bit. And Jared, I need your expertise on this. I'm pretty sure that your commercial to single family rear lot
mm-hmm.
Vegetated buffer, I'm pretty sure, is really just hedges. I don't even think it includes trees. So we're not only planting trees to create the buffer, but Ms. Ross said it, we intend to almost do, like, I'll call it a reforestation mix. And what I mean by that mm-hmm. is loblollies that are native in our area and oaks. So we are creating this screening buffer along this backside of this multifamily to where you get a variety of foliage, we'll say. Yes, it may not cover every square inch of the multifamily, but once again, it kind of goes back to the things that we are doing to mitigate what we knew would be a sensitive matter. Mm-hmm. And I think we're doing that.
What would be the possibility of a compromise of these buildings that are multifamily on these, you know, you've got some space here, it's not a whole lot, if it were to lay out like this, and I know this is just a concept.
Yep, yep.
What if those buildings were two or three story instead of four, and the rest were four story?
It's possible. I'd have to talk to Nate about that and kind of, you know, maybe put together a plan for that.
I'm sure I'm not thinking of anything you all haven't thought of and discussed.
It's been discussed, but ultimately, overall, for the overall development, we need four story. Mm-hmm. Whether that means four story for these few
right.
particular buildings, it's possible we could look into that. And that's something I would talk to Nate about. You know, and when we're talking about sight lines too, I mean, and I think we had a little section of it. I mean, I think we're showing four story or up to 60 feet. So when we're talking about sight lines and someone's seeing off their back porch or over their fence, I mean, are they seeing the roof or are they seeing a window and a patio? It's kind of subjective. Like you don't really know what you're going to see. So with our spacing from building to building, what we factored here, I mean, it's a good, that's a lot of buffer. In fact, I'd rather come back in and say, let's do 80 feet because then that's beyond the 60 feet. But we didn't do that. We came in over that. We're over 100 feet.
Well, I'll say I would be in favor of pushing this forward to City Council mm-hmm. if we could amend, make a motion that included the buildings that were for multifamily directly adjacent to your neighbor, to those being, I don't know, I would love to hear some feedback from other commissioners, two or three stories rather than four. Again, I'd like to see this opaque screening wall to be specified as masonry at 8 foot and clean up the language on item 3. And I didn't see any irrigation on this, but I understand the city requires that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
we do.
That's not necessary. But those three things, items that I mentioned, if we could somehow make a recommendation and include those, mm-hmm. Maybe it would give, you know, City Council some food for thought. They can pick it up from there.
Minimum 60 feet from his property line?
I'm sorry?
Minimum 60 feet from his property line?
I don't think we have to worry so much about that anymore since we got it figured out what what's in the PD is acceptable, in other words, is what I'm hearing from the city. But the issue being those buildings that would be directly adjacent, if somebody can go to the site plan, those buildings that would have a view with four stories down into somebody's, they would be limited to being, I don't know what y'all think, two or three stories instead. The rest of the complex, the rest of the community there could be four stories. You're not going to have a direct view except those buildings, yeah, like Jared's got right mm-hmm. there. And then, as I said, I'd like to see that opaque screening wall under their item increased to 8 feet in masonry, and then the language on the number 3 with the trees specified, cleaned up.
I have a question for you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you typically use when you put up a buffer between, you know, like for a fence? So what do y'all usually make them out of?
I think in the past we've done low brick walls with wood. We've kind mm-hmm. of done accommodation. Mm-hmm. We've done wood. We've done masonry. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ms. Ross is suggesting an 8 foot. If I may ask, why? What's the difference, 7 to 8? What? Why?
I'd probably go for 7, with okay. it being masonry.
So we're proposing a 7 foot. Mm-hmm. I think.
Well,
the
I
ordinance,
like 10 foot. So.
The ordinance.
I backed off.
The ordinance requires 6 foot.
Right.
So we
right.
once again, kind of in a compromise. We're going with a 7 foot.
Mm-hmm. But I'd like it be specified as masonry, and I think Barbara would as well. Excuse me.
At this point in time, I've learned the hard way that. You can have wood and you can have masonry, and guess what? They both break down just as fast.
As fast?
Yeah. I was surprised, and it did. And I've heard about it ever since.
So. And I don't know what our language would be to limit these buildings direct, well, I think it would be these buildings directly adjacent to neighboring residential lots. I mean, that kind of looks, I'd have to get direction from Jared there on if that wording would cover it or not.
Yeah, I mean, we can identify, Clayton and Nate can identify a separate, you know, track A. And then put in the PD ordinance, any buildings that fall within this area have to be X number of feet. Can be no more than X number of feet high. Or you can just make it simple and say those buildings immediately adjacent to the northern and western boundaries can be no taller than X number of feet.
Well, but there's extra ones there. I'm looking at just the ones you have circled, actually.
But
that would be looking into the lot, I would think. However, commissioners want it. I'm just throwing it out there.
A lot of it, though, I know at one point, before the people that started this whole piece of material work down there, there are a lot of trees out there because there's also wetlands in there. And there's, in fact, four or five pieces from there, from 2978 all the way up to Hussmith. I mean, 2920 to Hussmith. There's five of them, I think. And so those have to be treated very carefully environmentally.
On our
but
side.
The part they're looking at, I believe, has one piece that is not very big. When you get a little further north, there's one piece up there as much as 2 acres, I think. So.
Barbara, are you talking, you're saying wetlands on our site? Is that what you're referring to, or a different property?
I said that whole piece of property at one time was going to be one big development from 2920 all the way to Hussmith Road, which is a far ways. And at that point in time, there were five different areas that were wetlands. In fact, in our park off of Hussmith Road, there is I think it's 2 acre wetland in there. But they're great amenities to have because, no, you can partner with school districts and everything, and they will actually come in and take care of them, and kids get to go to class, and you make friendly neighbors.
I can't speak on behalf of some of the other properties, but I know with our property, when we had an environmental consultant come out, we did a full report on it. There were little tiny areas, nothing jurisdictional about it.
Right.
And there was, you know, nothing that prevents us from doing improvement work on the soil. Yes, the former landowner it was really when 2920 was built. It was a dam.
Mm-hmm.
It prevented the drainage, and so all the water was getting stuck out there. And they built a man-made ditch out there. The man-made ditch outfalled to TxDOT legally. They have a permit, or we have the permit and everything. And so it was draining water, but then they failed to maintain it, and those inlets got clogged, and then it reverted right back to the same thing where water had nowhere to go. So once I got up there with the
20 looks good when it's 7 feet.
That's right. Once I got out there with the Maniacs and cleared out those inlets, everything was a river.
Y'all have anything else to say? I heard somebody say you had a question.
No, I agree with Tana that those making those kinds of adjustments, I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can too.
Two-story on the five buildings that we've identified?
Well, I don't know about the height, but I do believe the direction they're looking in makes a difference whether you're two-story or five-story.
I wish I was an engineer and could give you some sightline stats.
Well, I agree with the two-story because if somebody built a two-story home there, it's probably going to be the same.
Well, there was a hotel going there at one time.
Yeah.
It was 10. So
what about the language about the trees? Do you want cleaned up? The shrubs? Or?
Yeah. A couple of things. The 3-inch needs to be specified as a 3-inch caliper tree per 40-foot of property boundary. Mm-hmm. And the tree species will vary, including oak, pine, and low shrubs. I think low shrubs do not qualify as a tree, so that just needs to be struck. And then if we can have the opaque screening wall of masonry, not less than 7 feet, all of that in that section G of buffering and fencing, and then add our language for limiting these buildings that are adjacent to residential lots on the south and east boundaries to be at, do y'all want two stories? Do you want three stories?
I personally think three story would be fine.
Mm-hmm. Three. For compromise.
I mean, I've got a house sitting behind me that is 2.5 stories, and by the time they added the little patio, it's three.
So let's go with three.
So, I mean, are these livable conditions?
Two-story would be very odd for our multifamily buyer to be building a four-story and then a two-story. That's very atypical.
That'd be very odd.
That's very kind of the, I don't know, the GC and not only from a design standpoint, but from a practicality and construction standpoint, that would be very odd.
And I know a lot of new homes have increased in height, even just two-story homes have greatly increased in height.
Yeah, they're three-story.
More than what was typical 10, 15 years ago.
So I have a question. Three stories with the changes of the fence and the language on the trees and shrubs.
What if, Jared, is it possible that he can go back and talk to his people and kind of see what kind of, how they think about after everybody's input and then come back to us to present his final plan?
I think really we just need some kind of motion to be made and let it go to council.
Okay, and then, will that work?
Yeah, because we've already notified that it's going to go. Otherwise, we'd have to
Okay, well, that's fine. I was just trying to make sure we get it all covered at one time. Okay. So, will somebody may make a motion with everything in it you want to hear, or I will.
I'm happy to make a motion. I make a motion that we approve the plan development as proposed and as put forward to us with these changes. That number one, it should include multifamily buildings that are adjacent to residential lots on the southern and east side to be limited to three stories. And number two, that in the agreement under section G, buffering and fencing, the opaque screening wall be specified as masonry. And in the same section G, buffering and fencing, under number three, that the last sentence of tree species will vary, including oak, pine, and low shrubs, that low shrubs be struck.
So no low shrubs on the property at all?
Well, no one. I'm sure we want low shrubs, but in this case,
doesn't count
it's,
as
well. It's not a tree species.
I like low shrubs against my house.
Yeah, it's not a tree species. Maybe it just needs to be worded then. Tree species will vary, including oak, pine, and along with
shrubbery
or something. But it's right now. I know it's a real technical thing.
No, I was going to ask Jared, won't our landscaping ordinance cover the trees
all
and all that?
As far as the species that are required, we have a tree planting list that they have to apply. But
so that would work to take care of that part.
Oh, boy.
Can't hear you.
The new one has not been
I know. Mm. We haven't gotten it to approve it yet.
The one I said,
yes, sir.
When I was on the PNZ, he's not there.
Okay, he's been standing here a long time. Yes, sir.
Well, back to what Ms. Ross's motion, we're really just talking about the areas notified in blue because you mentioned the east and south property line.
Yeah, I did. That are adjacent to.
In the areas adjacent, indicated in
the
blue.
The ones that are circled.
That are adjacent to residential lots.
Okay.
Yeah. Or. Layman terms, back up to residential lots. I don't know.
Those which I've circled here.
The ones that are
the
circled.
Ones that have been circled here in ours.
Yes.
We can work with that.
I second that motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
I think we already have a motion on.
We have a motion on the floor already.
On the floor. So it would be.
Okay.
So I would need.
Our attorney had an answer or a thought.
When you say south and east, we're talking about, you're referencing
south and east.
North and west for the...
For this, yeah, you're right. I'm referencing north and west. You are correct. I was looking at it from...
I think we can circle it and get there for you.
Oh, I was looking at it from across the fence.
Okay, so can you correct that, Jared?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are we good? I'm asking you guys, yes or no, are you good? You want to move on, or do you want to add something?
I'm good. All done.
Okay. Do we need to put anything in there about the senior development above them? That it only put to that area? Okay, so I'll make sure. We're done? Okay, call the roll.
Do we have the second?
Okay, but we don't know. Commissioner Anderson, are you amending the motion?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yes, she is.
There's a motion already.
Commissioner Harris going to second that amendment.
So I would amend my motion to include everything what Kenneth...
Right.
Kenneth just said. Can we just state that plainly?
Yeah, because he's been writing, he's written it down.
Always state plainly.
Okay, so I want to amend, I would like to amend my motion to include Commissioner Ross's amendments to my motion.
Yeah, I didn't say it right. You're right.
Perfect. I could throw in some more words, I'm part of government, so.
Put it this way, staff will take care of us.
That's right.
And I second it.
Okay, would you call the roll, please, Ms. Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tag.
Aye.
And Commissioner Anderson.
No.
Motion carries, 4 votes aye, 1 vote nay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. I lost count of where I was. There we go, okay.
It's a good catch, I'm in the mouth.
Okay. Y'all ready? Okay, E3. Request, okay. Consideration to approve zoning case Z23-11. A request by, I'm not sure how to say this, Cidros LLC on behalf of Wendy Lynn Dixon to amend Chapter 50 of zoning of the Tomball Court of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 10 acres of land legally described as being parts of lots 372 and 373 of Tomball Outlots from single family 20 estate SF20-E to light industrial zoning. The property is generally located within the 1500 block east side of South First Simmons Street within City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am, thank you. I'll be presenting Z23-11. Here is an aerial location map highlighting the subject property crosshatched in yellow. Property is approximately 10 acres in size, located in 1500 block on the east side of South Persimmon Street. The reason for this request, according to the information provided in the application, the request is to rezone to light industrial in order to allow office warehouse uses at this location. Here are a few photographs of the subject property as well as surrounding properties to give you an idea as to where we are in context. Current zoning map showing that the subject property does currently fall within the single family residential estate 20 SF20E zoning district and has been within this zoning designation since the city adopted zoning in 2008. North, south, and east of the subject property are also zoned SF20E and contain single family residences and a vacant land on each as well as vacant land on each parcel. West of the subject site on the west side of South Persimmon Street is also SF20E and is vacant. The subject property will have direct access to South Persimmon Street, which is a minor arterial street indicated with the blue line here. The subject property does fall within the business park and industrial land use category. This category is intended to be located near adequate thoroughfares, which provide convenient vehicular access to include freight traffic.
Recommended land uses include office, warehousing, light manufacturing uses, breweries and distilleries, equipment sales, contractor services, and corporate campuses. Recommended secondary uses include things like utility services, government facilities, and transportation or freight uses. The comprehensive plan recommends zoning districts of light industrial, commercial, office, and planned development districts. The proposed zoning of light industrial is in direct conformance with this comprehensive plan land use category. City staff sent notification letters to all owners of properties within 300 feet of the subject property, and we have received 7 responses in favor and 2 in opposition. This request is found to be consistent with the current comprehensive plan in direct alignment with our future land use plan, and the objectives established for the objectives to establish a business park and industrial land use category for this area. Taking that into consideration, city staff is recommending approval on zoning case Z23-11. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Will the applicant please come forward to present your case, state your name and your address for the record, please?
Good evening, my name is Ashley Baron. I'm a realtor with the Dougherty Real Estate Group, and I am the listing agent for the property, and I represent Wendy Dixon. I'm also working with Isidro's and his realtor on purchasing the property as well. So currently we are in the feasibility period. The property is still on the market. We are under contract. The buyer just wants to make sure that the property can be rezoned to light industrial before we actually close on the property. So there hasn't been, they haven't started to design their project and whatnot. They do want to do office warehouse, but we don't have, you know, I don't have a presentation to share with you today. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can talk as long as you want about whatever you need. You're not limited time wise.
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The public hearing on zoning case Z23-11 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 7:40 p.m. If there's anybody here who would like to speak regarding this request, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and your address for the record. We have anybody signed up?
I do not, ma'am.
Okay. If there's anybody present who'd like to speak, please come up now. Okay. Nobody is here to speak regarding this. The public hearing is now closed. And the time is now 7:41 p.m. Okay. Could I have a motion to approve zoning case Z23-11?
I make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Is there any discussion or questions of the applicant? Any questions? Okay. Since there are no questions, there's no discussion. Would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tague.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Nay.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Motion carries, 4 votes aye, 1 vote nay.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Would you please call the roll?
Yes, Ms. Kim. Ma'am. Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tague.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn carries unanimously.
All right. The meeting is now adjourned and the time is 7:43 p.m.
Go outside.
Oh,
won't take long.
No.
Step
my
toe out there.
I burned myself on my car today.
Oh, I bet.
Touched a metal piece.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I'm like,
Well, you almost need the hot pads to put your, yeah.
I touched like the side of my door. It's like
so hot.
I never my thumb yesterday, but I don't know how.
How did you do it? Now you got our interest.
Yeah, is it related to the base?
What were you doing?
Did any of you see, did any of you see this? Did any of us? Anybody?